Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, and let me say what an honor it is to preach God's word once again and to stand behind the pulpit. I do not take it for granted, and I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to preach, and I always look forward to it, and it's a privilege, and it's an honor, and it's the joy that I get in my life. It's become a joy for me to preach the word, has been since God called me to preach, and so I'm so grateful to have this opportunity, and I pray that God will make me a blessing to you. We're looking in Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6 through 15. In recent days, I have read the great British preacher from days gone by, Alan Redpath. I encourage you to read his studies devotionally, and in reading his studies of Joshua, he entitles it Living the Victorious Christian Life. God began to work in my heart and many times in those studies, and I would take these little post-it notes on my study and write down sermon ideas. At the end of the week, I'd go through them, and it seems like you get a lot of them from Dr. Redpath. That's why the past couple times I've been preaching from the book of Joshua. And in the final study, one of the final studies, he talks about the character of Caleb. And so I'd like to give him credit for some of the inspiration for this. Of course, I've made it my own and created my own outline, but his outline is very good. He talks about Caleb in this passage, had a faith that never wavered. He had a strength that never weakened. He had a blessing that never wasted. And he had a love that never waned. And I'm going to reword it tonight, but I'm pretty much going to preach that. I thought that was very good. And it's all right here in the text. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Caleb before. It's a name that's been passed down to us. We use it a good bit. I think he's a pretty underrated character in the Bible. Would you find Joshua chapter 14? Begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." How many of us could say that? How many of us could look at the leader, the spiritual leader in our lives, and say, "I have wholly followed the Lord these past 45 years. It's an amazing thing. Verse number 9, "And Moses swear on that day, 45 years ago, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." That's 85 years old. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain." Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, "For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. I'd like to preach tonight with the help of the Lord under this heading, The Character of Caleb. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that through him and in him, we are more than conquerors. We thank you, Lord, that he is the one that has won the ultimate victory for us. And it's in his victory that we conquer. Just like how David defeated that giant, and therefore all of Israel gained access to victory because of the work of one man. So it is with us tonight. Because of the work of Jesus, we have gained the victory. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the message this morning, how clearly put forth was the gospel and the profundity of the depth of the fact that Christ, the perfect Son of God, took upon the sinfulness of man, tasted the rejection of God so that we could taste the acceptance. We thank you for that message this morning. Our hearts are still elated over that good news. And so I pray tonight that you would take me as your vessel, that you would cleanse me of my sin, that you'd empty me of myself, and that you'd fill me with your Spirit, that I may be able to preach while thus saith the Lord. Show us the character of this mighty man of God, that we may learn from it and emulate it and receive some of the same benefits that this great man did all those years ago. We thank you for these elders that obtained a good report. We thank you for this cloud of witnesses that we are compassed by. And we pray that you'd help us to be encouraged by it tonight, convicted where we need it. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is somewhat applicable to the text that we've been reading in weeks gone by about that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12 that is all around us. And I believe that that cloud of witnesses is referring to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, right before Hebrews chapter 12, we get the hall of faith. Following all those elders, the Bible calls them, Old Testament believers. We've been going through it on Wednesday nights with the youth group, going through each one of those. How they obtained, the Bible said, a good report. That is to say that they did not regret the way they lived when they came to die. They obtained a good report in heaven. How did they do it? By faith. And so we have this great cloud of witnesses around us. Caleb, I think, could be included in that. And God has put them in the Word for our benefit tonight. Now we understand the purpose of the book of Joshua. The theme of Joshua is claiming the inheritance that God has promised to us. We know tonight, as God's people, that God is always faithful to His promises. That although our faithfulness may fail, His faithfulness never does. He can be taken at His word, and He wants us to go forward by faith in His promises as Joshua and the children of Israel did. It is a necessity tonight that we're reminded that we live by faith. Now, some have likened Canaan or the promised land to heaven. Sometimes you hear it sung that way. But I believe that it's a better likening, a better connection if you liken the promised land to the Christian life. Because you're going to find out in the book of Joshua, if you read it, that the promised land is still filled with battles. But in heaven, all battles will be over. But in the Christian life, there are still battles to be fought. There are still victories to be won. Now we know that the land is going to be ours. We know that God has already given us the promise. We know that the victory is already won. The war is already won. But the battles still rage in the Christian life. And God has called us to live in a certain fashion. God has already promised the ultimate victory, yet He still commands His people to fight and to claim the inheritance. I think it's been properly said that the New Testament parallel to Joshua is Ephesians, where Paul writes about walking into the fullness of our salvation, tasting the richness, the depth of all that God has given to us. When you become a Christian, you don't even know a smidge. You don't even know a speck of all that God has given to you in Jesus. And there's going to be some battles when it comes to gaining some of that inheritance because we still have this old flesh. We still have the devil in his kingdom. And we still have the world system trying to keep us from gaining the fullness of the inheritance that God has given us. Trying to keep us from working out our salvation with fear and with trembling. And it has been said that the church has failed to preach responsibility to its people. But I believe that if we truly taste of the grace of God, it'll give us an encouragement to live for the glory of God. And it'll give us a responsibility and an optimism and a soldier, warrior-like mindset to go forward for the glory of God. It is no coincidence that it's in Ephesians chapter 6 that we get the command to put on the whole armor of God. You only put on armor if you're fixing to fight a battle. And how many times does the Apostle Paul parallel the New Testament believer to a warrior? I like what he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're warriors tonight in the army of God, fighting to claim the inheritance that's already been purchased for us, that's already been claimed for us, and the ultimate warrior, the captain of the host, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that Caleb is one of God's underrated warriors. And there's two types of people, it seems to me, in the church. And there are two types of people in Israel back in these days. You've got waverers and you've got warriors. You've got people that you can't depend on to fight for God. We're doing good just to get them in the, you know, on the front line. But then you've got some people that they're warriors and they're fighting the battle. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're a warrior, as the promised land here in Joshua chapter 14 is being divided among God's people, we are pleasantly interrupted by a character, a man by the name of Caleb. And he's already been mentioned before. He's already been a part of the story. And I want you, if you would, to flip back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, when God sent 12 spies into the promised land to search it out and to make a way. And we know that 10 of those spies were scared of the enemy. 10 of those spies said, "We are as grasshoppers in their sight." And 2 of those spies didn't. 2 of those spies were men of faith. 2 of those spies measured their enemies by God's power, not the enemy by their own strength or power. They didn't care what they looked like to the enemy. They cared what the enemy looked like to God. They were men ready to fight for the glory of God. And we have to have that same mentality tonight. There are enemies all around us. Our culture is crumbling right before our very eyes. We are losing the culture war. Our young people are being influenced by things that you couldn't hardly imagine. This world is going away from Christian influence, and we have to shore up the line of battle. We have to understand what's going on tonight and not be apathetic about the culture war that we are losing in our culture, politically, spiritually, and in many ways. And God has called us not to let that happen, but to continue to fight. Look what it says. This is a very important verse. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 24. God said, "But my servant Caleb." Caleb is classified here as a servant of God. That's the greatest classification you can be given on this earth. The only epitaph that that great leader Moses gets was, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died." That's a good enough epitaph. That's about as good as it gets. Because the Bible said, notice this, this is where I'm taking my title from, he had another spirit with him. The Bible said he had another spirit. What does that mean? The word spirit means, the deep word, it means who he is. The breath of what makes him tick. It says at the core of Caleb, you could use the word character, his spirit, his person. At the core of Caleb, he's different than the rest. He's part of the minority. He is unique. And I believe that if we would look at Caleb's character and seek to emulate it and be influenced by it, we too could have God say such a thing about us, that there's a group of people that have another spirit within them. While the American church either compromises with the enemy or conforms to the enemy or bows down to the enemy, there's another spirit down there at Cook's Chapel Baptist Church. There's a different character down there at Cook's Chapel Baptist Church. And they please me because they have wholly followed the Lord. I like how Alan Redpath calls Caleb one of the great hearts of the Old Testament. A man where faith continued and did not grow dim and tired. A man that was still ready to fight for God, even in his old age. He's not the type of man that's going to die out. He's the type of man that's going to burn out. That's the type of man that he was. 4 things about his character. First of all, Caleb was a man of consistent faith. He had a faith that never wavered. Would you look at it in verse number 8 and 9 of chapter 14? When it comes to dividing up the land, Caleb stops. He says, "Joshua, you remember what happened 45 years ago? I haven't forgotten the word of the Lord. The Lord told me that this land belongs to me.
45 years, and Caleb is still believing the promise of God. That's consistent faith. It's one thing to believe God for a day. It's one thing to believe God for a week, for a month, for a year. But what about a man who believes God for a lifetime? I'm a great admirer of that. Jesus gave us the parable of the soils, didn't he? And he talks about those soils. That it's the word, the promise. By the way, the promise and the word is the same thing. Caleb's faith was based upon the word of God. Caleb's faith was based upon what God had said. Just like our faith tonight. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How many of us could believe the word of God tonight and then say 45 years later, I still believe it. My faith has been consistent. Now that doesn't mean that Caleb had turned his faith off for 45 years and then when it was time to claim the promise, he stepped up and turned it back on. No, that means that every single day of his life, for 45 years, not in the spotlight of Scripture, by the way, Joshua's in the spotlight, behind the scenes, Caleb has been stoking the fires of his heart, stoking the fires of his faith, staying consistent in his belief that yes, God promised it to me. And if God promised it, God will fulfill it. That's what we've got to have tonight. We got to be people of consistent faith. We've got to believe that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. We've got to believe tonight that the word of God shall not return void. We've got to believe that where the gospel goes, it conquers. Where Jesus is preached, he's the victor. And we're not on the losing side, but we're on the winning side. We've got to believe it tonight. Caleb was a man of consistent faith. While others tremble in fear, Caleb chooses to triumph in faith. He believes that what God said to him 45 years ago is as fresh as if he said it 45 minutes ago. He's not looking for a new word because he doesn't need a new word. The old word is still fresh to him. That's a man who has consistent faith. That's a man of another spirit. That's a man who's wholly following the Lord. By the way, faith is following. Did not Christ teach us that? He said, what did he say? Follow me. He asked for a lifetime commitment. That's what faith is. Faith is not a one-time profession. It is a lifetime possession. Amen. Lifetime. And Jesus said, you got to get behind me and you've got to follow me. That's what it is. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is playing for keeps. He wants it all. He's an all or nothing God. And Caleb, he loved that. That was the type of guy that he was. He was the type of guy who had a consistent faith. May it be with us tonight. Secondly, very quickly, he was the type of man. And by the way, you don't have to be a man to have these things. Amen? He happens to be a war, but there have been plenty women in that hall of faith. I love the story of Moses' mother. What kind of mother trusts God enough to put their baby in a crocodile-infested river and send it down knowing that God's going to keep that baby safe? Praise God for women of faith. And she knew that God, she didn't know how God was going to do it, did she? She just knew he was going to do it. And Moses just so happened to find his way to the spot where the most important woman in the world happened to be bathing. The princess of the most powerful. If you trust God, he'll come through, won't he? He might not come through when you think he should. He might not come through in the same way you think he should. But he always comes through. That's our God. He's faithful. We got to be reminded of it. Because Caleb was a man of consistent faith, notice this, he was a man of continual faith. Strength. Verse number 10 said, and 11, Caleb says, I am as yet as strong as I was 45 years ago. I'm 85 years old, but my strength has not abated. Just like Moses, by the way, same way. His strength had not faltered. His strength had not failed. He was as strong now, ready to fight, as he was at the beginning of the battle. It's not how you start, is it? It's how you finish. First quarter players are a blessing in the first quarter. But I sure do like fourth quarter players. You can count them to get you 10, 15, or 20 in the fourth quarter. That's the player you got to watch out for. The guy who has endurance. Endurance.
Caleb was a type of person. He had no give up in him. He had no quit in him. How so? Because he was strong. He was a man of continual strength. The Bible said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Look at verse 12, would you? Caleb says, because of my faith and because of the strength the Lord has given me. By the way, who do you think kept Caleb strong all those years? It's the Lord. I believe it's a supernatural thing for an 85-year-old man to be as strong as he was 45 years ago, don't you? Some of us older folks could say, I could tell you that is supernatural. I'm only 26 and I've already had my check knee light come on a few times. Right? So as you get older, your physical body begins. This is a miracle, isn't it? God's kept him strong. That's because faith connects you to God. Faith gets the blessing from God. He's a man of strength because he's a man of faith. Now, this is interesting. We look at verse number 12. You know, if I was Caleb, I'd be looking at David in heaven. I'd be saying, I don't get why you're so popular and I'm not. You only killed one giant. I took on the whole family. What's the deal with that? Oh, because you were a little kid and because you used a sling. Okay. But you only killed one. I took on a whole mountain full of these guys. The Bible said that this mountain that Caleb wanted, that he was promised. Wait a second, I thought God promised it to him. Did that mean it was handed to Caleb on a silver platter? He still had to go fight for it. Amen? Look, God has things to give you, but he's waiting for you to show up to the battle. Jesus said, the man that knows my will is the man that obeys my will. You learn more about the will of God while you're in the fight. Caleb said, this mountain is filled with Anakims. It has been for years. You know what that word Anakim means? It means long necks. I found that interesting. They're known to be a family of giants. They had giant genes going back ages. Connected, by the way, to the people from Gath in the land of the Philistines, where Goliath comes from. We find out that Goliath, who was over 10 feet tall, was actually one of the little brothers. Now think about that for a minute. And Caleb said, I'm going to take on this entire mountain filled with Anakims, filled with giants. And we know that on average, they're between 10 and 12 feet tall, if we can use Goliath as a measurement and his older brothers that are mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. And Caleb is the one who steps up and says, it doesn't matter the size of the enemy. It doesn't matter the power of the enemy. What matters is what God said. What God said. That's what matters. He is a man of continual strength. Would you notice, would you look at Joshua chapter 14, look at verse number 12. Where is Caleb getting his strength? Would you look at the very last part of the verse? He says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Church, too long we try to live the Christian life without God. Cannot do it. Caleb knew where his strength was. And it wasn't in his self-reliance, but in his reliance upon the Lord. I could take you down through verse after verse after verse if we just do a little search here. And I've got several verses mentioned in Psalms. Over and over and over it is mentioned that God, the Lord, is our strength. If we type in strength here and we do a little search, it's mentioned 240 times in the Bible. It's mentioned 74 times in Psalms. Psalm 18:1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He is our strength. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. Psalm 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength. Psalm 18:39, for thou hast girded me with strength. Let the word of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we'd be here a while if we went through every single one. The Psalms is about the experiential side of the Christian life. Psalms is about fighting the battle to the glory of God. And in that battle, you're going to need strength. And the only place we can turn, look, I am for using the wisdom of men. I am for using all. I'm for preparing the horse for the day of battle.
and checking off all the boxes we can check off, being as educated as you can, being as knowledgeable as you can, doing those basic things. I believe we should do that. But ultimately, the Lord gives the victory. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, yes, but safety is of the Lord. As Augustine said, pray or work as if everything depends upon you. Pray as if everything depends upon God. Joshua chapter 15, verse number 14. Would you look at that verse very quickly? Flip to the next chapter. And Caleb, chapter 15, verse 14, drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and if I'm butchering these, you forgive me, and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Joshua drove them out of the land. And if you were to do a perusal of the rest of the book of Joshua, you would read a lot of statements like this. They were not able to drive them out. They were not able to drive them out. They were not able. But Caleb was able. Caleb was able to drive the enemy out when many were not. That's because he was a man of consistent faith, and he was a man of continual strength. And because he was those two things, he also received, number three, a copious blessing. Would you look at it? In verse number 12 through 15, the Bible said that he was given the land of Hebron. And then we see in the next chapter that Caleb was able to give an inheritance to his daughter and his son-in-law. He was able to be a blessing to his posterity. The biggest reason that we should fight the culture war, the biggest reason that we should continue to battle for the glory of God, is for the sake of our children. It used to be that our culture cared about that. It used to be that we talked that way. John Wesley once said, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will accept. We have to understand that what we do today echoes tomorrow. Future generations reap the benefits of the abundant, overflowing blessing given to the warrior of faith. Amen. Caleb could look at his daughter and his son-in-law and say, I have something for you. Because I fought for it. Because I paid the price. And how many of you would agree with me tonight that we would not be here without someone in the past that paved the way? Without someone in the past that fought the battle? May we never be like King Hezekiah. As long as there's peace in my day, he said, I'm fine. The prophet said, your sons will receive the curse. And Hezekiah said, it's fine with me. I'm dead and out of here. What a coward. What a terrible, terrible, terrible name to have. What about a man who says, I'm going to invest in my children and in my children's children? That's a Christian, isn't it? That's the biblical way. That's how we're supposed to do it. That's not popular in our modern day culture. But that's who we are. The next generation. We're watching for them. We're making a way for them. We're thinking about them. And perhaps that's been on my mind a little bit more lately in the situation that I'm in life. A unique situation that I've never been in before. I have a big responsibility coming up. But I sure am thankful that this right here has a lot of guidance for an idiot like me on how to go about investing in that next generation and how precious it is. That's why I love that school over there. And that's why where I'm going here this spring, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I told him, I said, you know what? I wouldn't be comfortable in a church without a Christian school. I'd be bored. I love investing in the next generation. That's what God would have us do. Expend all of our energy into that. Now, what kind of heritage did Caleb leave? Would you notice number four about Caleb? Perhaps you've got the idea that Caleb was a rugged, tough guy. You have the right idea. But that's not the fullness of who he was. He was also a man of constant love. Do you notice the name of the place that he's given? The Bible said that it was given to Caleb, Hebron, for an inheritance.
We must not skip over that name, Hebron. That's a deep name. That word means communion. It means association. It's famous for being near the place that Abraham once built an altar to worship God. In other words, if you're a spiritual man that loves the Lord, that's a coveted place. It's got an inheritance on it already, a spiritual inheritance. It's not just a nice place to live with a view. It's a spiritual place with a spiritual heritage where the communion with God is emphasized. Caleb was a man in love with his Lord. He was a man that at the end of the day, the most important thing to him was fellowshipping on the mountain with God. He wanted to be in the place of association. It didn't matter how many giants he had to kill to get on that mountaintop of fellowship with God. Church, tonight there are giants in our life that we need to slay. Those giants of sin that we're called to mortify. Those giants of sin that damage our Hebron with the Lord. That damage our fellowship with the Lord. That God is calling us to slay. That God is calling us to kill. So that we may enjoy the fullness of His fellowship. I dare say that most Christians never enjoy the fullness of fellowship with the Lord because of the sin in our lives. Not Caleb. He's going to kill every giant he can to enjoy the fullness of fellowship with God. And guess what? That land he's given to his family connected right to Hebron. He's raising them up in an atmosphere of communion with God. An atmosphere of love. Yes, he's a rugged warrior on the battlefield. But he's a tender-hearted worshiper before his God. He's got a backbone of steel, but he's got a heart of gold. That's a hero for us tonight. That's a hero. But I found out as I studied this word Hebron, that name of that place was passed down. We find out in Chronicles chapter 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, that a descendant of Caleb, a young man, is named Hebron. Generations later, carrying with him the inheritance of fighting for the sweet fellowship with God. Wow. Battling the enemy for the glory of God. That is the greatest inheritance you can give a person, of communion with God. Fellowship with God. And it came at a cost, didn't it? It came at a cost to Caleb. But you know, our fellowship with God tonight came at the greatest cost. Not to Caleb, but to our Savior, who also went upon a mountain called Mount Calvary and made there an altar for us so that you and I could have an eternal Hebron in our hearts to fellowship with God. We are to pass that down to others. And then I found out that David, when the battle got thick for him with Saul and Saul's house, the Lord came to David and said, David, you need to just, why don't you go out to Hebron for a while? God said, David, come on out to Hebron. Come on out to fellowship. Come on out and associate with me for a while and get some strength. And David decided to have a family out there in Hebron. That's a good place to raise a family in communion with the Lord. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Came at a great cost, didn't it? A great cost to our Savior. So let us tonight be men and women of consistent faith, continual strength. And we'll receive a copious blessing. And we'll be people of constant love, dwelling in Hebron. Aren't you glad tonight for the true and better Caleb? That defeated that giant for you, so you could have the sweetness of fellowship with God. I love that passage, Brother McBride, in Colossians chapter 2. He's broken down the middle wall of partition that was between us, nailing it to his cross, getting rid of that enmity. We have sweet fellowship tonight. And aren't you thankful for those men and women? Because my Bible says, I didn't get into this, but Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, Paul says, we talked about it in Sunday school as well. He says, I have filled up the fullness of the sufferings of Christ for you. He says, not only did Jesus suffer for you, but Paul said, I've suffered for you, holding back the enemy for you. I sure am thankful for those in the past that have suffered and spent tears and sweat to keep that Hebron for us, a holy place. This is our Hebron, amen? We could take a drive through the United States of America, and there are many places where this doesn't exist. Aren't you thankful that we have it here? Thank God for you. Many of you, I'm looking at a lot of Calebs tonight, a lot of warriors. I'm thankful for you, and I want to encourage you to keep the fight. The next generation needs it. Amen? They need this place. I couldn't think what would happen if this place was gone. Imagine a world without the testimony of the Lord. His voice must be heard. We must keep telling it. Keep telling it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your